David, I believe that you probably don't know one thing about me. Did you know that I'm taking an online medical doctor's course?
No, I did not.
You didn't know that I was taking that online? I could have my choice between two courses. One was $25, one was $50. I take the $50 one as far as doctor's courses. So I'm probably going to be a better doctor because of that, you know. But I hope you'll excuse me that I didn't wear my white coat. The white coat cost more than the whole course did. I don't know why I had to, you know, get the white coat. But I can't quite afford a doctor's bag yet. So I brought my box today, okay? So I wanted to bring that box along. And do you mind if I give you a little examination today? Oh, sure. That didn't sound too convincing there, but I'm learning on this course that you're supposed to do certain things. And would you cross your knees, please? One of the things you're supposed to do is test for the reflex. And so let's see about his reflex. You moved your arm a little bit there, so all right. Well, we'll stop there on the reflex. You're supposed to take their temperature, right? Well, I couldn't find the regular thing, but think this would work if I... Maybe. Well, my course said that it wasn't all that important anyway, you know, to take somebody's temperature. One of the things I'm supposed to do is take blood. Could you pull your sleeve up a little bit for me there? You know, I hope that, you know, I haven't done this too many times. And because I tried it with Willow, but Willow just wouldn't stand still. But I'm going to take a little blood, okay? And again, I couldn't afford the stuff that they want to sell you online. And I tried to get my wife to do that, but my wife, she kind of passes out at the sight of blood, you know? And you know what? I do too once in a while. But have you ever siphoned gas out of a gas tank?
No.
Well, I think this is a lot like that. If I put this in your arm, and then we let it run down into the quart jar, it's kind of like siphoning gas out, and I only need a quart. Here, I'll have to come around there on that side. I have this because I don't like to get sprayed, you know, and so you don't look too comfortable. Oh, well, let's forget that. I don't have time for that. I do need to have you check some things. So I need to check your throat. Okay, I need to check. Oh, just a minute. I need to check your eyes and ears. Okay. You wouldn't believe how much cheaper these things are than the ones they try to sell you on the line. You know, one last thing. I was going to do the blood pressure, but I couldn't figure out how to do that yet. So, but I do have a homemade stethoscope here. Would you hold that right here to your heart? All right. And then... Oh, you need to move it over that way, just the other way a little bit. All right. Thump. Thump, 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 thump. Hey, David, did you hear about the new girl that's coming to the ninth grade next year in your class? Thump, 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 thump. Oh. All right. Let's give a hand to David for... How about it? You think I need to keep up this course online, David? Yes, we've been a little silly this morning, but you know what I'd like to do this morning as we look into God's Word? And this is for mothers, but it's actually applicable to all of us this morning. Let's take a little bit of a spiritual checkup. Let's have a little bit of a spiritual checkup this morning. And we're going to still be in the book of 1 Thessalonians. So turn to the book of 1 Thessalonians, please. Do a little spiritual checkup. By the way, David, you passed your physical checkup here. So, we've already studied and recognized that this epistle, 1 Thessalonians, is the first letter that Paul wrote. And we know and have read about the founding of the church at Thessalonica in Acts chapter 17. We know that Paul ministered there for 3 weeks, and believers came to know the Lord during that time, but then persecution broke out. And during that persecution, Paul had to leave, and he went to Berea. And then after he fled from Berea, he went on to Athens and eventually on to Corinth. And it's from Corinth, about an hour after the founding of the church, about a year after the founding of the church, that he writes this letter back to them from Corinth. He's concerned. He has many concerns for them there at Thessalonica. They're new believers. They've been encountering a lot of persecution. We've already read and studied that he had them in his heart. He was concerned. He loved them. He had them in his heart. He wanted to see their face, but that wasn't possible. He wanted to know how they were doing spiritually. He wrote and said, I wanted to know concerning your faith. And so he was concerned about their spiritual well-being. And mothers, God is concerned about your spiritual well-being again this morning. And so we're going to do a little spiritual checkup this morning. Let's go to chapter 3, 1 Thessalonians 3. And as we read just these first 10 verses again, we read them last week together, but I want you to look for a key word in here. As we read these 10 verses, I want you to look for the word faith. Look for the word faith in these 10 verses. But when we could no longer forbear, we thought it good to be left at Athens alone and sent Timotheus, our brother and minister of God, and our fellow laborer in the gospel of Christ to establish you and to comfort you concerning your faith, that no man should be moved by these afflictions, for yourselves know that we are appointed thereunto. For verily, when we were with you, we told you before that we should suffer tribulation, even as it came to pass, and ye know. For this cause, when I could no longer forbear, I sent to know your faith, lest by some means the tempter have tempted you and our labor be in vain. But now, when Timotheus came from you unto us and brought us good tidings of your faith and charity, and that ye have good remembrance to us of us always, desiring greatly to see us, as we also to see you. Therefore, brethren, we were comforted over you in all our affliction and distress by your faith. For now we live if ye stand fast in the Lord. For what thanks can we render to God again for you, for all the joy wherewith we joy for your sakes before our God, night and day, praying exceedingly that we might see your face and might perfect that which is lacking in your faith. Did anybody count how many times we had the word faith there? How many came up with five? Good, you're good counters today, all right? There are five times that faith is mentioned in 10 verses. So when we do this spiritual checkup, it's especially important to check our faith. How's your faith this morning? Five times. And you know, this is personal faith. Before every one of them there, just about every one of them, there was the pronoun what? Your faith. Do we have this morning here our faith? Yeah, we all have something collectively. We call it our faith. But it has to start personally with your faith. You can't be a part of the our faith until you first have had that personal encounter with the Lord Jesus Christ, and then you have a faith. It's personal. And you can't have somebody else's faith. How many of you, praise the Lord this morning, know that you have a mother who, maybe she's passed away, but a mother who was a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ and she was a woman of faith, or still living and is a woman of faith? How many of you have a mother who's a woman of faith? Isn't that great? But guess what? Your mom's faith is not your faith. Your mom had her faith, and we have to have our faith. We can't go in on the shirt tails or coat tails of anybody else. It's personal. And so that's why he said, I wanted to, verse 2, comfort you concerning your faith. And verse 5, I wanted to know your faith. Now, I thought faith was the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. So how can you know somebody's faith? You know, how can you know that? Can you see faith? Well, you really can't see faith. Hebrews 11:1 says that it's the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. 2 Corinthians 5:7 says, for we walk by faith and not by sight. So you can't see faith. But what can you see? Fruit, or the works that are accomplished because of faith. James said, show me your faith without your works, and I will show you my faith by my works. And so we need to demonstrate our faith. Have any of you ever actually seen a counterfeit dollar bill or a counterfeit bill of any kind? I don't know if I have actually ever seen one in person. Now, I've seen some fake bills that were never intended to be real bills, you know. Those things are all around, and you know, I have somewhere $1 million bill. Well, in case you're wondering, there's no such thing, but I have one as far as that goes. But did you ever hear the story about the men who were trying to counterfeit $20 bills, and something went wrong with their press, and all of a sudden it started spitting out $18 bills. And they had all these $18 bills, and they started to gather them up, and they were going to throw them away, and one of the guys says, no, don't do that. He said, we can take these down, and we'll go up into the mountains somewhere where people just don't get much contact, and I'm sure that we can use these $18 bills. And so they took them up into the hills, and they found a little tiny gas station, and they went in, and they said to the man that ran the gas station, he said, would you happen to have change for an $18 bill? And he looked at it, and he says, yeah, what do you want, 2 9s or 3 6s? You know, those are fake. But you know what the truth is tonight or this morning? There's a lot of people who have fake faith too. Fake faith. False faith. Again, notice we read them, but verse 6 here says, he brought us good tidings of your faith. Was he talking about a fake faith there? No, he was talking about genuine faith. He said, he brought us good tidings of your faith. Look at verse 7. In all your affliction and distress, and then he says, it was mine. I was having this affliction and stress, but I was comforted by what? Your faith. And then verse 10, perfect that which was lacking in your faith. Faith grows. Faith builds. Faith is not stagnant. And so I hope today that as you do this spiritual checkup, the first thing you'll find out is that you have real faith, and that your faith is strong, and that your faith is vibrant, and that your faith is alive, and it's not just dead, empty faith that isn't shown by what you believe and how you live. Don't have faith as fake as a $3 bill or an $18 bill or a $6 bill or a $9 bill. So the first part of our spiritual checkup this morning, moms and all the rest of us too, is how's your faith? Number two in our checkup, how's your love? Notice chapter 3, verse 12. We didn't read it earlier, but it says, "And the Lord make you to increase and abound in love one toward another and toward all men, even as we do toward you." Chapter 4, verse 9. "But as touching brotherly love, ye need not that I write unto you, for ye yourselves are taught of God to love one another." So Paul, as he was writing to these believers at Thessalonica, he wanted to know their faith, and he was writing to them about their love. And you know from John 13, can anyone tell me what it says in verse 34 and 35 of John 13? Some of you might have that passage memorized. What does it say there? A new commandment. Go ahead, Bob. And then verse 35 goes on and says, "By this shall all men know that you're my disciples if you have what? Love one." He gave a new commandment to love one another. Now, so here's the question. How's your love? Aren't you glad that you don't have to ask that question about God's love? You don't have to say, well, how's God's love today? We know how God's love is. We aren't studying the attributes of God today, but if we were going to study the attributes of God, we would discover that God's love is constant, that his love is consistent, that his love is unconditional, that his love is eternal. God's love is always the same. But sadly, man's love is not always the same, is it? It's not always constant. It's not always consistent. It's not always unconditional. And it's certainly not always eternal. But we are to have God's love in our hearts, one for another. Unfortunately, man's love is oftentimes a changing love. It's based upon actions. Boy, mothers, I hope that none of you ever say to your children, "I will love you if you..." No, we should love our kids no matter what they do. There aren't any "if you do this" type things. Our love should be constant and continuous and unconditional. And our love shouldn't be based on emotions or feelings. Feelings change. Sometimes they change very rapidly. I think it's interesting, and I've seen this happen more than once, where there are a guy and a gal who fall in love, and they are just, there's nobody like him or her in the whole world. And they have these puppy eyes that stare at each other, you know, they are in love. But then they get in an argument over something and they break up, and the very next day they're talking about each other as if they're scum and jerks and rats. And what happened to their love? It changed with the feelings and the emotions. Our love shouldn't be changing with our feelings and our emotions. How's your love for God today? If you were to take your love for God and put it on a scale of 1 very low and 10 very high, where would you put your love today? Let me just ask you, do you love God so much that you have been very, very careful not to take his name in vain this week? Do you love your God so much that you have been very careful to read his word this week because that's his love letter to you? Do you love your God enough that you have taken time this week to talk to him in prayer? How is your love toward God this week? But also, how's your love for others? Is there anybody in the church or family members or neighbors or those around you that you just never will speak to because you can't stand them? Kids, how's your love toward your parents? How's your love toward your mom? And so Paul, in writing to the Thessalonians, inquired about their faith. He was talking about their love. Now, can faith be faked? Yes. Can love be faked? Yes. And we have to be careful that we don't fake either one. But in moving on into chapter 4, I have a third question for you this morning. How's your faith? How's your love? How's your walk? Verse 1 of chapter 4. Furthermore, then we beseech you, brethren, and exhort you by the Lord Jesus, that as ye have received of us how ye ought to walk and to please God, so ye would abound more and more. For ye know what commandments we gave you by the Lord Jesus. And then he goes on to remind, this is the will of God, even your sanctification. That's another word for your being set aside for holy purposes. That ye would abstain from fornication. That you know how to possess your vessel in sanctification and honor. And verse 7, he's not called us unto uncleanness, but unto holiness. And so the question is, how is your walk today? Are you walking in such a way that you are pleasing God? You all know the story of Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde. Well, are you in your walk a Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde? Does that mean on one occasion you look real holy, and on the next occasion, depending on who you're with, you can sin along with the worst of them and nobody knows the difference? You can live with whatever crowd you're with and feel right at home. When you're home with your parents, are you one way? But if you're out with others, are you another? What did James call this kind of a person? He said a double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. And what did Jesus say? You cannot serve God and mammon. So God said you can't serve two masters. You can fake faith. You can fake love, and you can fake your walk and make others around you think that you're walking this wonderful, holy life. I have a trick. Many of you have probably seen this trick where I have some rabbits. They're just painted rabbits in canisters. And I get one rabbit to change canisters, or two rabbits change canisters. There's a black one and a white one, and they change back. And then everybody thinks they catch me in the trick. And then when I turn it around, they think the white rabbit is black on the back side and the black rabbit's white on the other side. But when you turn around, they're red and green. And I can remember so much when I was... years ago, I was at a family reunion, and I had a cousin of mine who was a year difference in age to me. Her name's Diana. And Diana, she was booing me. She was hissing me. She was ribbing me because she thought she had it figured out. And she caught me. And she was giving me a rough time. I'll never forget. It's one of my favorite pictures of Diana. When I turned them around, she went... You know, she couldn't believe it. I fooled her. But you know what? You might be walking a walk today where you're fooling everybody. You can fool them. You're fooling everybody. But the truth is, what is the lisp that you ought to walk and to what? Please God. Guess who you can't fool? God. Can't fool God. You can fool me. You can fool everybody around you. But you can't fool God. And so we need to check our faith. We need to check our love. We need to check our walk. But in our spiritual checkup this morning, there's one more thing that we need to check. Verse 13 of chapter 4. But I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that ye sorrow not, even as others which have no, what's the last word? Hope. And 5:8. But let us who are of the day be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love, and for an helmet, the hope of salvation. You know what we need to check this morning? Our hope. Our hope. Mothers, how's your hope today? For those of you who may be new mothers and have very young children, we're living in a world where as we look at circumstances, we look at what's happening in this world, we look around us, and we don't see a lot of hope. I appreciate some of the changes that are taking place in our nation right now, but that's not my hope. And let me just ask you this. Maybe you as an older person, have you lost hope? I hope you haven't lost hope. More and more people live who have no hope. They are looking at the world, they're looking at the society they live in, they're looking at the problems, they're looking at the future, and they despair, and they're discouraged, and they've given up. Every day, although we don't always hear it in every news report, but there are hundreds of people around this nation who commit suicide because they've given up hope. They've given up hope. Ephesians 2, Paul was writing to the church at Ephesus, and he says that at that time ye were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in this world. No hope. You know, isn't that a sad two words? No hope. No hope. Paul wrote in 1 Corinthians, if in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men most miserable. But in Christ there is hope. In Christ there is a future with hope. In Christ there is life that is full of hope. I hope that you haven't lost your hope. I pray that you haven't lost your hope. And so how are you doing in the spiritual checkup this morning, moms, dads, young people? How are we doing in this checkup? How is your faith? I hope it's real. I hope it's genuine. I hope it's true. I hope there is faith there and that you're just not faking it. How is your love? Is there anybody that normally is near you, around you, that you find it difficult to love? We need to ask God to help us to love each other. How's your walk? Is it different from when you're with believers? And how's your hope? But I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that ye sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. 1 Corinthians 13 closes with these words. Now abideth faith, hope, and love, or charity. But the greatest of these is love. But he doesn't say we shouldn't have faith and hope. Is your faith strong, growing, alive? Is your love genuine and impartial? Is your walk consistent, has the right motives? Is your hope vibrant, expectant, joyful? Moms, do your kids see you as a woman of hope? But let us who are of the day be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love, and for an helmet the hope of salvation. Let's pray. Lord, we've taken this short but important spiritual checkup this morning. And yes, we've kind of spoken to moms this morning, but we know that all of us need these words. Father, I pray that your Spirit might even be prompting us right now to do this checkup in our own hearts that only we can honestly do. But sadly, sometimes we can even fool ourselves. And so I pray that the Spirit of God would prick our hearts and convict us today. And if there's one here who has no faith in Christ, they've never really come to that point where they have personally put their faith and trust in Jesus Christ and his finished work on Calvary, I pray that today might be the day of their salvation, that they would see that they are lost without Christ and see that they're appointed unto eternal judgment and damnation, and that with Christ there is hope, there is salvation, because he has paid the price, and that he is offering us eternal life, and may we receive that by faith in Christ and his finished work. And then I also pray for any who may be here today who kind of have given up. Maybe a lot of hard things have happened in life, and maybe a lot of disappointing and discouraging things have taken place. Your word tells us to hope thou in God. I pray that we might continue to have that hope. Help us to check our love. Help us to check our faith. Help us to check our walk. And if your Spirit pinpoints something in our life that needs adjusting, needs changing, we pray today that we will be quick to do whatever your Spirit is telling us to do today. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen.